Nobody predicted this. Nobody predicted that he would win.
That's right.
It was all the polls were
never
against
believe the polls.
Everybody said he would become decimated.
Yeah.
But Avraham Avinu won anyway. Total upset. Total victory. And he was going like he's just a little guy. Just a few people with him.
Well, Ryan said he stood.
He decimated. Avraham Avinu we're talking about now. He decimated the enemy. Oh. And there was this world war. Four kings against five kings. Wow. Armies. Avraham Avinu comes in, miraculously blows everybody out of the water. Wow. And he ends up taking all these prisoners. And then he meets the king of Shalem, which is the future city of Yerushalayim. It was just a little hick town at that time. And his name is Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek, we know, is a Nam Degur for Shem, son of Noah. And Avraham Avinu has this encounter, and he's very charitable, because Shem is considered to be the proverbial Kohen. Avraham Avinu gives him a miser, a tithe. And then, of course, Avraham Avinu did not give anything that wasn't his. He did not give somebody else's money.
All right.
Now we're on chapter 14. And we'll pick it up at Pasuk Chafala, verse 21. Aftermath. After the surprise upset. After Avraham Avinu is greeted by Malki Tzedek. After he blesses Avraham. The king of Sodom, who survived the battle, even though he lost the war, he said to Avram, Tenli Anefesh, give me back my people, all these captives, give me back the people. You can take the spoils of war, just give me back the people. I need to have citizens. I can't be a king without abusing anybody. I gotta have somebody to abuse. So give me back my citizens. So I can be a ruler, a sovereign. And I'll find a new way to steal money. Don't worry about it. I'll find a new way to generate funds. Now, the Melech Sodom is not asking for his life. He's not begging for his life when he says, Tenli Anefesh, give me the souls. Not like afraid of Ram's going to kill him. That's not what this is about. But rather, his intention is to ask Avram, says Rashi, Min HaShvi, from the captives, Shali, of my citizenry, Shehitzalta, which you saved, Hachazili, give me back my captives, give me back my people that you saved from the enemy. Hagufim levadim, all I ask for is the bodies, that's all. I'm just asking for the people. I just need citizenry. The rest will fall into place. I'll find money somewhere, but you're the people. And the money you can take. So, the Maharsha says that Avraham Avinu essentially owned these people because he saved them from certain death. And therefore, it was Avraham's right now to introduce them to his monotheistic ideas and to educate them and to turn them into righteous people instead of Sodomite people. These are Sodomites. These are really bad people, with very bad ideas, very, very, very bad morals. Avraham says, I'm going to turn them around now. The king of Sodom is giving back my people. So why didn't he say, the rechush is yours, the money is yours, residuals are yours? So actually, the Ur HaChaim says, because by dint of the legal code of the time, the money that belonged to the people belonged to them even after the wars, even if they were captives, but their money belonged to them. So whoever owned them owned the money. So therefore, it's you can't suck or blow at the same time. It's either you take the people, if the people are mine, their money is mine. They're my captives, so that what they own is mine. Or if I'm taking the people, meaning the Melech Sodom, then he has to take the money also. So the Melech Sodom says, no, here's the deal. You get to keep their money, and I'll take, just give me the people. I don't care if I make them poor. I don't care if there's nothing left to them. I'm okay with that. So what's Avraham Avinu's response with this very generous offer? Vayomer Avraham el Melech Sodom. Avraham says to the king of Sodom, Hari meisi yadi al Hashem, I raise my hand up to God, Kel Elyon, God who is most high, Koine Shamayim Va'aretz, who has acquired, so to speak, heaven and earth. What does Avraham say? Hari meisi yadi. It's an expression, a euphemism. Rashi says, it's l'shen shvua. It doesn't mean I lifted my hand up. It's not about hands. It's not about lifting. It's an expression. It's like saying, by my oath, Meirem ani esyadi lekel elyon, as if I am raising my hand up to the God who is most high. And interestingly, in many cultures, when you make a pledge or make a promise, what do? You raise your hand. And I think in the United States, you go, I solemnly swear. Right?
Raise your hand. January 20.
V'chein, similarly, binishbaiti means I have sworn, but it doesn't mean, if you look in the psukim, it doesn't mean I have sworn. It means nishba'ani, I swear. V'chein, similarly, nasati kesef asada, this is all the psukim that speak about Avraham Avinu purchasing a plot, a portion of land, which he's later going to bury Sarai Menu. Nasati kesef asada, I have given the money for the field, kach bimeni, take it from me. Nasin ani lecha, kesef asada, I'm giving you the money, kachehu, even though he says kach, I have nasati, means I've already given, but he didn't give it yet. He's saying, take it. How could you take it if you already give it? If you're already nasati, what's kach? I gave it already, now take it. So obviously this is all euphemism, that we could speak about something which I'm doing in the here and now as if it was done already. And then it becomes almost like a commitment, like an oath. It becomes binding. It's as if it's done. I'm so committed to this. This is not a negotiation. It's past tense already. It's already done. You already have it. That's the idea of harimaisi yodi, not I've raised my hand up. I've raised my hand up means it's as if I'm raising my hand up. Now Rashi is not so much bothered with the unusual expression of harimaisi yodi. Harimaisi, like it's not a typical expression. Rashi is not bothered for the simple reason that it's euphemism. Euphemisms don't have to be typical. When it's typical, when it's literal conversation, it has to be understood literally. When it's figurative, once you go into the figurative element, but that figurative doesn't make sense. It's figurative. That's the nature. So whenever we're dealing with something which is stylistic or poetic or euphemistic, it's not going to be literal, and Rashi is not going to bother explaining anymore because on a literal level, it doesn't need a further explanation. It should be noted, though, that the Or HaChaim, he reads into this a little bit more nuanced. He says, I raise my hand up to show that gifts only come from Hashem. So from Rashi's perspective, the raising of the hand is an oath. From Abarbanel's perspective, Avram was like, it's like saying, it's like this expression, like, show the open palms. I have nothing. I've taken nothing. I'm clean. It's like Avram said, I get my money from God. If I need wealth, that's where it's coming from. It's not coming from you. That's the meaning of Harimaisi Yadi. So the Barbinel doesn't interpret it so much as an oath, but rather as not a figure of speech, but not a promise. It's a figure of speech saying, here's where my wealth comes from. The Mincha Belula says, raising of the hand is something that usually denotes violence or war. So when a person is going to keep getting threatening, he said, don't raise your hand. Don't raise a hand against somebody. So he says, Avraham Avinu went to war. He raised a hand. He says, Harimaisi Yadi, I did raise a hand, but it was all El Hashem Kel Elyon. I did this for God. I didn't do this for personal gain. This was not a typical war. This is not a typical, I'm coming to capture spoils. This is not about me. It's all about Hashem. I had to do the right thing, the moral thing. I had to save innocent people. I raised my hand to God. I have no profit that I'm expecting whatsoever. And the Or HaChaim says that the idea of harimaisi is considered, comes from the word, it's like etymologically related to the word truma. Truma is the food or the sustenance you give to the kohen. And once the food is separated to the kohen, you're not allowed to benefit from it. It's off limits. So harimaisi yadi is like truma. Are you kidding? This is off limits for me. I would never touch it. There's no negotiation. Don't worry about it. I have no intention. I'm not keeping anything. You're planning to say, give me the people, but no. Take your people, take your money, nothing. For me, it's like truma, off limits. I will have nothing to do with it. Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23. Avraham Avinu goes on now, and he speaks about this in more flowery language. He said, imichut v'atzrech nal, not from a thread to a shoe strap. V'im ekach mikol ha-shaloch, that I might take anything from you. Then the Sodomite king will go around saying, Ani Esharti Es Avram, I made Avram rich. Nothing doing, dude. It's nothing to talk about. I will not take a single thing from you. Rashi says, Schut, from a thread to a shoe strap, This is also, it's euphemism. It's talking about like something tiny, like a thread. Like I don't take a thread from you. He says, Akev la'atzmi, not one of the things will I restrain for myself, min hashevi, from the booty, from the spoil, the capture, the residuals. So Rashi says, not only I'm not going to restrain or hold anything back, but you want to give me some kind of reward, you want to pay me as a mercenary. I came and saved your people. You were getting under a massive assault, and you would have been decimated, and you would have nothing left. And I came and saved the people. So now you give me from the treasury. Avraham says, and even though I'm not taking anything from you, I'm not only not holding back, I'm not taking anything from you. I ask for no payment. I have no expectation whatsoever. Don't even go there. Don't say, Rashi says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu hivtichani. God is the one who promised me la'ashereini, to make me wealthy. Shnemer va'avarechecha. It says that Hashem said he would make him wealthy. So God said he's making me wealthy. It's not you, and therefore I take absolutely zero, not a zilch, from your hands.
So maybe this is how God wanted to make him wealthy. It's like the drowning man in the lifeboat and the helicopter. And the, right? No?
That's a good question. It's a good question. Maybe this is how God wanted to make him wealthy. But Avraham Avinu speaks about perception.
He took gifts the from Avimelech and Pharaoh.
The perception over there, the gifts from Avimelech.
It wasn't from God, it was from Avimelech.
No, but that was not something that Avraham Avinu, people could say that Avraham Avinu earned it fair and square, he went to war, there's a booty from war, battle from war. Avraham Avinu says that was all miracles. I don't want to bear the benefit of Hashem's miracles. When it comes to Avraham, Avimelech, and Pare, they actually did something very bad. They owed Avraham. This is different. It's like a lawsuit. You cause pain, now you have to pay up. So there Avraham Avinu was justified, he was a victim. Over here, he didn't feel that they should say that they were magnanimous and took care of him. Incidentally, from the shoe strap, the thread to the shoe strap. So the Ibn Ezra says the thread refers to the thread that holds clothing together. And the shoe strap is what binds the shoe. So it's not even, he doesn't want to take even the substance that binds the things together. The Chizkuni says that the chut, that the thread or rope, is a tachshit. It's a kind of like some kind of accoutrement that's worn around the head. Maybe it's like the nomads, like some of the Arabs wear today, with a shmata on their head, and they have like a... That would be the sruch, according to the Chizkuni. And the sruch would be some kind of band which is worn around the foot. Anyway, point is, there's nothing to talk about. And the im ekach, Radak says, lelakachti ba'avar, I didn't take from you in the past, but le ekach mikano lahaba, I will not take from you in the future. Nothing to do with you. You are the icon of Sin City. You represent depravement. I have nothing to do with you. Don't even have any expectations. Don't worry about it. Now, you're asking a good question. Maybe this is how God wanted to send him the money, right? So what if he won't say that? What if the king won't say that? The king is actually grateful. The Kliyakar says it doesn't matter if he will say it or won't say it. Avraham Avinu doesn't want it to be possible that it should be said. Even if it makes I'll take if you promise you don't say such and such. Avraham doesn't want to have any indebtedness whatsoever to the king of stone. He shouldn't be able to be in a position. He doesn't want to expose himself to any kind of compromise, or being compromised, pardon me, by Melech Sodom. But Avraham says, I can be generous on my own account. Bilodai, this is for me. I don't take anything. But Rakes Asher Ochlu on the Orim, I did spend money, at least just reimbursed, like, it was food. We had a war. Wars cost money. So at least just reimburse. To give the people who came with me, they risked their lives. They deserve the booty. That's fair and square. The people who went with me. And Einar Eshkolu Ma'amre, who is Avraham Avinu's friends, according to most Mepharshim, are the ones who stayed home. They were the National Guard who could make sure that the homestead wasn't overrun while Avraham Avinu was out in the battle. Hey, Mikru Chalkam. They should take what's rightfully theirs. And the Orem Rashi says, Avodei Asher Hochu Iti, the servants who came with me, the Oid, and furthermore, Einar Eshkol Umamre, they should also receive a remuneration. Sha'avodei Nichnus L'Muchama, my servants went with me into battle. Shenemar Huva Avodov, him and his servants, Vayakem, they smote them, the Einar V'Chaveirov, and Einar and his peers, Yoshua L'Akelem Lishma, they remained home to guard Avram Avinu's compound. Afilo hachi, hey miku chelkam, they should take their portion, even though they didn't go to battle, so they were only the National Guard taking care of back on home front. Nonetheless, they still deserve a portion. David, it was from Avram Avinu's behavior that David HaMelech was able to understand. Sha'amar, who said, Kechelek hayered b'amolchama, u'kechelek hayeshev ala kelim. He spoke about the percentage that the soldiers should receive, and he spoke about that which should be received by those who guarded the residuals back home. Yachtav yachleku, together they should divide. V'lakach ne'mar, and that's why it says, v'yihi me'ayemahu v'molo, from that day and onward, v'yasimeha l'chayku l'mishpat, this became law. David HaMelech had shrined it as law. We would follow the Abrahamic tradition, and this is what we would do in battle and in the aftermath of battle. V'lein emar doesn't say Bahola. Bahola means from that day and forward, but really it's not just from that day and forward, because l'fishikfar nita na'chayk b'mei Avram. This was already established back in the days of Avram Avinu. All right, so I started off today's class with this notion of aftermath. Now, we're really talking about aftermath. The Torah specifically says, Achar hadvarim ha'elem. After all this happened, Hoya dvar Hashem al Avram, this unbelievable battle, nobody predicted Avram would win. He was supposed to be decimated and lost. The king, the future king of Bashan, Og, was the one who told Avram Avinu about what happened to his nephew, that he was captured on account of his connection to Avram, and this was a mockery of everything Avram represented. He had intended to get Avram to go to the battle, but he was certain Avram Avinu would be killed, and his plan was to marry Sarah. That was his plan. Didn't work out that way. Very different. But nonetheless, so after this all happens, Avram Avinu surprises everybody, and the pundits are going crazy. How did this happen? But there was a real miracle.
Is that the schos of God?
Sorry?
Is that the
schos of God? Yeah.
Some schos.
And that's the point. And nonetheless, still.
Amazing.
His middle name was Trump.
And so after these all this happened, Achar Advarim Ha'ele, the Medrash Abba says, Achar Advarim Ha'ele, aftermath, after this all happened, Rabbi Yudon said, Muflag. It wasn't immediate. It was later. Later on. It's like the next chapter. Could be a significant portion of time later. Rav Huna said, Samuch. No, it's immediately. This is immediate aftermath. So Rashi actually bases his commentary on that Medrash Rabba, and he says like this, Kol makam shenemar achar, whenever it says achar, it's samuch. Achar is immediately afterwards. When it says acharei, muflag. So Rashi follows the approach of Huna, and he says that since it says achar dvarim elu, this is the immediate aftermath. And it's not a significant portion of time later. Whereas when Avram Avinu was told about the Akedah, that's acharei dvarim elu, that's muflag, that's not immediately afterwards. So, achar advarim ha'ela, achar shenasa lo neze, after this incredible miracle happened to Avram, which absolutely nobody anticipated. Harag es hamalachim, he killed these four kings. V'ayya doyeg, and he was worried. What was he worried about? V'ayimar, he was saying to himself, Shema kibalti schara kol tzidkoisai. Maybe I received the full reward for all of my righteousness. All the good things I did, that's it. That's it. I'm paid off now. No more reward. Avram Avinu did all the good things already. That's his concern. Therefore Hashem says to him, Al tira, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Much more reward is coming your way. Back in the Pasuk, Achar Advarim Ha'ela, Hoyadvar Hashem al Avram, the word of Hashem comes to Avram b'machazeh, in a vision. Lamer saying, Al tira Avram, do not be afraid. Avram, Anoichi Mogin Loch, I will shield you. Secharcha harbe me'od. Your reward is very great. So, the meaning of Anoichi Mogen Loch, Avram Avinu had another worry. His other worry was not that he depleted his brownie points, but his worry was he was afraid of Minha Einish. He was worried about getting punished. Avram Avinu, unfortunately, a battle's battle. War is hell. Avram had to kill many people. Because he killed people, he's afraid now that as a result of it, this was a sin. And Avram Avinu would be taken to task for doing the terrible sin of killing people, of taking lives. So Hashem says, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Rashi here emphasizes a second time. But you're worried about the reward? Ah, don't worry. You have a big storehouse. You have not depleted your account. There's a lot. Hashem says, I have a lot coming to you. Now, there's a very interesting discussion about what Avraham Avinu was exactly afraid of. First of all, what is a machazeh? Machazeh, a vision, Ramban says, is a day prophecy, not a night prophecy. Usually Avraham had nocturnal prophecies. It was like a vision, a dream. This was during the day, which was unusual. And the Bechor Sher says it was like a dream, but it was a daydream. People say daydreaming? This is the original daydream. Now, Rashi takes his idea of he's afraid of a punishment. Because so, if you look in the Medrash, it says, Shema harakti ish tzaddik. Maybe I killed somebody who was righteous. Who says all those people were deserving? Maybe some of those people weren't so bad. And if they weren't so bad, then I killed them, Zavram. I did something very bad. So that's why Hashem says you don't have to worry about
it. He doesn't understand.
Of course he does. But stuff happens sometimes. Avram always doubted himself. He was ever humble. Reb Brachi says he was afraid of shame. Shame would send some hitmen after him because he killed all his children. These are his descendants. The Medrash Rabbah says he was afraid maybe the children of these people would come to exact revenge.
These are shamans.
Now here's a very interesting way of looking at the whole thing. Now Barbanel says that the concern was, he bases his comments on the Gemara and the Nedarim. And the Gemara and the Nedarim says, Avraham Avinu was thinking, maybe I did the wrong thing. I relinquished my hold on these people. I gave them to the king of Sodom. I could have made them Jewish, so to speak. I could have made them believers. And instead, I sent them back into a life of sin. Maybe I'm being held to task for that. So Abarbanel says, based on that Gemara, that he was afraid. Maybe he sent back the people. Abarbanel says, maybe he was afraid he sent back the money. You know what the money's going to get used for? For brothels, right? So whatever was used in Sodom. He said, I should have kept this money. I could have done mitzvahs with it. I could have given tzedakah. Who says it was the right thing to give away the money? That's what Avram's concern was.
Did Lot go back at that time to Sodom?
Lot remained in Sodom, yeah.
He remained.
Yeah.
Because it says that
Avram
brought him out.
Avram saved him, saved all the people.
You want to go back?
He said, thanks, Avram. Go back to our way of life.
He likes it there.
So Abarbanel says, that's the meaning of Schar Chadav. Don't worry, he said. You should not have taken that money. You do a lot of mitzvahs. You don't need those mitzvahs. That's not for you. And that's the Avraham Avinu is worried about, like on a spiritual level, maybe he not a sin of commission, but a sin of omission. Maybe he was supposed to bring more people into the service of Hashem, and maybe this was a missed opportunity. Hashem says to him, no. That's not the way you bring people close to Hashem. You capture them in a battle, and you have a captive audience, and you give them a sermon. No. You have to inspire them to come.
We're growing the Muslims.
That's not the way of Yiddishkeit. I once delivered the invocation. I did it a few times actually for the progressive conservatives here in Ontario. So I once my opening joke. I said that I gave a sermon about charity, and I said that the truth is it's not government that's supposed to be taking people's money and then distributing it. Mm-hmm. But rather, it's our job to inspire people to want to do this by themselves. They like that. Okay, so here's the big question. Avraham Avinu is worried. Avraham is concerned that Hashem says, don't worry. And then you read Pshuta Shal Mikra, the Rashi explains it. Masha Ata Doig Al Kibul Schorcha, Page Kuf Samach Vav, Simon Yud Gimel, Parshas Lech Lecha. You worried? Don't worry. Why? I promise you much reward. What does that sound like? What's Avraham Avinu looking for? What's he looking for? Reward. He's looking for rewards. He was worried he lost his rewards. Hashem said, don't worry, you have a lot of rewards. He's looking for rewards. So the Rebbe says, L'chaira ha'dover derish bir. This aftermath of what happened and Avram's concern seems totally misplaced. Hare avedas Hashem shel Avraham Avinu. The methodology of Avraham Avinu's service to God was so extraordinary that Avraham Avinu's service to God is characterized as lishma. Lishma means for its sake. for its sake, for the sake of serving Hashem. So there are some people who serve, who do things because they expect to get a reward, and some people who do not expect to get a reward. Which category would you put Avraham Avinu in? In the latter, that he's serving Hashem Lishma for the sake of serving God. He's not looking for a reward. In the words of the Mishnah, Shaloy al menas lekabel pras, not to receive a reward. That's the question. That's exactly the question. You're saying he's worried about a reward. The Rebbe says, he's worried about a reward? Listen to this, the words of the Rambam. This is actually tomorrow's Rambam. Tomorrow's Rambam.
You ready?
No, the Rebbe quotes the Rambam here. I'm just telling you, this is the first Perek of the three chapters tomorrow. The Rambam says in the last chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, Ha'oived me'ahava, the Rambam describes what does the one who serves God out of pure motivation, serving God out of love. What does that look like? He says, here's the definition. Lo'i mipnei davar ba'olam, not because of any external cause. Lo'i mipnei yiras hara, not because he's afraid of evil that might come if he doesn't do what Hashem says. Lo'i kedei liras hatova, not to be able to receive all kinds of good things, not to quote-unquote inherit good. Ela, eisa ha'emes, the one who serves Hashem, me'ahava, does the truth, means doing the right thing. Why? Mipnei, because? Shehu emes. Because the truth, Not because the truth, because they get a reward. So why'd you do that? Why is it the right thing to do? Oh, come on. You were getting a payback. No, not everybody operates that way. So there's no payback, no corruption here. Avraham Avinu was the paradigm of perfection, the polar opposite of corruption. He did nothing because of an external cause or profit or gain. Everything was for the sake of Hashem. But the Rambam says, after describing this totally altruistic approach to living a holy life, listen to this, quote, "Vehi, and this approach, Mailas Avraham Avinu." That's the Abrahamic virtue. So the Rambam describes doing something in a totally self-effacing and altruistic manner. And then he says, and that approach is the way of Avraham. Shele Avad, Avraham did not serve Ela Me'ava. How do you square that with the pasuk we just learned, though? That Avraham was worried about his rewards. And Hashem said, don't worry. There are lots of rewards coming to you. What do you mean? He doesn't serve God looking for any reward. Why would that even be on his mind? Why would God have to talk about that? Something doesn't make any sense. Eich yitochen, how is it possible? Shavram dog al kibul schare. He was worried about this. What's going to be my reward? You don't care about rewards. That's not the way you work.
It's a measure of how God is pleased with him or not.
Ad shakadosh baruch hu tzarech le'yashev daite. God himself, in the aftermath of what happened, has to come and soothe him and say, relax, don't worry. Everything's going to be just fine. You'll get lots of reward. Your reward is not spent. So this is the Rebbe's explanation. V'yesh levai. Avedas Hashem l'shma, the term serving God altruistically for the purest of purposes. Mashma usa, the intimation is, Shaha'odam enichoshev al toy alasoy ha'ishis. Person does not think about his or her own personal gain. Most people, the first reaction when you say maybe you should do X, Y, and Z, what's the first reaction they have?
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? Exactly.
You all got that too.
Exactly. You see, you all said it together. What's in it for me? What does it mean to serve God l'shma? I never asked that question. What's in it for me? What question do I ask? What's in it? For Hashem. Who poil ach v'rak l'man shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the question. What's in it for God? Why would I want to do this? Kisha adam emet bedaga kazu. When you live on this level, which none of us are anywhere remotely there, azai, when you're totally committed to God, to the point is that your intuitive reaction is not what's in it for me, but rather what's in it for God. Gam haschar, even the reward that is mekabel avur ha'toyre va'mitzvahs for the Torah study, the mitzvahs performed, hu b'shvil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's also for God. In other words, you get reward. Basic principle of faith, the Rambam says. I get reward. But when I get the reward, what's the question I ask? What's in it?
For God.
What could be in it for God? It's you getting a reward. The answer is very simple. Kishima Ashida may say, when he gets wealthy, Umechabde maise, and he garners respect, broad respect. Bischus kiyum ateira v'amitzvah shalei, as a result of living a holy life of morality, decency, righteousness, a God-centered life. Hu eini nena mi'ha'oshev ha'kavod ishi. He doesn't delight and wallow in his own honor, in his own wealth, in his own success. Rather, mikach she'misra be'kvod shomayim ba'olam. Who does it look good on? Looks good on God. It's good on God. The person who devoted his life to God is having a good life. So maybe other people will say, he or she devoted their life to God and life is good for them. I should do the same thing. Because if you live a holy life, what happens? It's good for you. Ooh, if it's good for you, why wouldn't I want to do that? In other words, when everybody sees the person who's getting all these wonderful things, like it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, person has beauty and power, he has wealth and honor. No la tzaddikim and no leilim, says the Mishnah. It's great for the world, it's great for tzaddikim. It's a beautiful narrative. What kind of narrative is it when everything goes bad for the righteous person? What kind of inspiration is that for the young people? They shall live a life of holiness and righteousness, live a life of depravity and self-centeredness. Say, well, take a look. The person lives a life of holiness and is ruined and busted and having only misery. The person lives a life of depravity and selfishness is living wonderfully. No, how am I going to choose?
That happens a lot. Mm-hmm.
So that's a chil Hashem taka. That's taka a big problem. That's not a, that's so Avraham Avinu sees the reward. The person who serves Hashem like Avram, who asks what's in it for God, hopes that he'll be successful and wealthy and happy. Why? So that other people will be positively influenced. In other words, it's all part of the same attitude. What's in it for God? He says, I need to be wealthy. Why? Because when I'll be wealthy, then more people will follow this path. It's a totally different perspective. It's altruistic wealth. Altruistic success. It's like a counterintuitive approach. Now apply this to the story of Avram. Precisely because Avram was the paradigm of a servant motivated entirely by love. In the fullest, most perfect way. So he did not see within the remuneration and reward a personal gain. Rather, what did he see within that concept, within that framework of things going well for him? What did he see? He saw l'chvay doy yizbarech. He said, this is God's honor. K'dei sh'al yedei haschar, so that through the reward, yisra bekvay shomayim ba'olam. It's God's glory that's increased. When he thought that maybe there won't be a kiddush Hashem. That was Avram's worry. He said, that's my worry. What will the people say? Therefore God says, Al tira Avram. No worries, Avram. This is going to look good. This is going to end well. May that be fulfilled in our days and with all of us.
Amen. Amen.